Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Double Podcast. We're on a new season, the 2019 season. Everybody, hope you're having a great day. I'm your host, as always, Eddie Fitzgerald. With me on the other side of your screen, Hunter Knisley.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Super happy to be back. We're missing Cam today, but Cam is going to be back. Don't worry. He will be back to give his hot takes.
We will be bringing back Cam. It's going to be awesome. We got video for you guys now, so you can finally see our faces, so you don't have to look at the logo for an hour-long podcast. So hopefully you enjoy that. If you do, make sure you drop this video a like. Be sure to subscribe to our channel. Follow us on all our social media at Triple Double Podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, make sure to share it around. Tell your aunts, tell your uncles, tell your mothers, tell your fathers, tell your brothers, tell your sisters, everybody about the Triple Double Podcast. All right, Hunter, we got a great show today. We're going to be talking about some of the teams that have sort of had a slow start into the year. You know, we're 4 or 5 games into the, you know, regular season, and what we've sort of seen, we're going to be talking about Jimmy Butler sort of
demanding that trade.
It was probably the biggest story after we ended our season last year. And we're also going to get into a little bit of some sleeper teams, some teams who might be fringe surprise playoff teams or teams who might end up contending for a championship when it gets warm out. Hunter, are you ready?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm ready to go, baby.
All right, let's do this. So LeBron, as we know, moved out to Los Angeles, you know, the city of angels. And to say it hasn't gone well has been a bit of an understatement. The team has looked, you know, slow, a little bit rough, despite them having one of the highest paces in the league. Yeah. Hunter, how would you say the LeBron experiment is going so far out in Los Angeles?
I would say so far it's going just as planned. We've seen time and time again, LeBron switches teams, they get off to a rough start. When he went to Miami, they started out 9-8. And as soon as they started 9-8, everybody was doubting them. They're not going to make the finals. They're not the best team even in the East. They were 19-20 in his first year with the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is just like normal. This is just like the past. They're going to be fine. The Lakers are going to be fine. I have them finishing as the 4 seed in the West right now. I still have them at that. Their pace. Something really interesting so far this year is the pace in the NBA has been way up. It's been the highest it's ever been. The Lakers are second in the league in pace, just behind the Atlanta Hawks right now at 109.1. So they're getting well over 100 possessions a game. And offensively, they've been pretty good, but defensively, they've been really, really bad. So I'm really interested to see how Luke Walton will kind of change their defensive schemes throughout the year.
No, I certainly agree. And, you know, I saw a tweet the other day from a Lakers fan account that was like at Diehard Lakers. And he was talking about how they needed to trade LeBron and how the experiment wasn't working. Just get him out. Like,
yeah.
And I wouldn't say that it's fair to throw the baby out with the bag, to use that expression. I also think we knew this coming in, that the Lakers weren't always going to be the strongest team in that Western Conference, despite adding the greatest player in the league right now. I think that if this team can string together a little bit more wins, like down the season, maybe finish in that 9th, 10th spot, that's a pitch that Magic Johnson and LeBron can go into free agency and take a look at a guy like DeMarcus Cousins or somebody of that nature, Kevin Durant, and be like, hey, listen, we can add some parity into this league. We can challenge. We can have Houston. We can have Oklahoma City. We can have a bunch of people, you know, sort of like get that contention back a little bit more than what we might be used to. I think that that would be a great free agency pitch to those players.
I agree. I'm really interested to see as well what kind of stars is LA going to attract, because we've seen Jimmy Butler does not seem very interested in playing for the Lakers, possibly the Clippers, but he kind of wants his own team is what it sounds like. Kawhi Leonard has he everybody thought he was definitely going to go to LA. Right now it's kind of maybe he'll stay with Toronto, maybe he'll go to the Clippers. It's kind of interesting. DeMarcus Cousins seems like the kind of guy that the Lakers could really use because they don't really have a big man other than JaVale McGee right now. But there's been a lot of talk on some of these players, do they actually want to play with LeBron James? Because now we've seen Kyrie wanted out from playing LeBron James. He was very vocal about that. Kevin Love played with him for 4 seasons, and we saw Kevin Love go from arguably one of the best big men in the league to he's a good scorer, but what else really is he? And the question right now is, does LeBron really elevate other stars? It's clear that he elevates definitely role players. We've seen time and time again throughout the years. But what star really wants to play with him now? And it's kind of interesting because I don't know if there are any current or stars that'll be up for free agency next season that are going to want to team up with him.
I definitely agree with that. I think that a major part, if they can't get those free agents, is how much can they develop their young guys? How much can LeBron elevate Brandon Ingram? How much can LeBron elevate Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma? Even Kuzminskis to possibly turn in to a LeBron team, almost like what he would have had if he went to the Sixers, where he's got a bunch of young guys around him that he can elevate. But instead, when you have a player like Ben Simmons, who's like very ball dominant, can run that offense very well, you have a bunch of people who can play with LeBron, play off ball, and then they can sort of do that Miami Heat situation where they bring in the Ray Allens of the world who want to try and get a chance to win the chip and develop themselves that way. So I think they're in a semi-decent spot, but this is going to be a real test for Magic Johnson, that if they can't get that marquee free agent, then they really have to focus on their young guys. Maybe they could try,
Definitely.
like, because if you can't land that star in free agency, I guarantee the Lakers fan base, maybe even GM LeBron, is going to be like, all right, let's move Ingram, Kuzma and Hart, and get me some guys who are going to fit my timeline. And that's
For sure.
going to start to wreck the Lakers' core. It's going to start to wreck the Lakers' future and all their prospects just to chase a current LeBron championship.
For
Another team
sure.
that has sort of fallen off, and I was very surprised by this when I saw their record, they still haven't won a game. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I've been very critical of Russell Westbrook in the past and on the podcast, saying that I don't think that he's capable of winning a championship. I think he's more of a regular season player. But right now, that team in Oklahoma City, Carmelo Anthony is gone. The poison's gone, right? They need to step up big time. They need to prove to everybody that they weren't just pretenders, that they can actually contend. They have one of the they made Paul George re-sign. They had that huge blowout party. And now it's just, I don't know.
They are, I mean, 0-5, obviously it's really, really early. There's still, a lot of games. They have 77 games left to play. So it's still very early, but they right now have the worst offensive efficiency in the league. And they also got rid of one of the worst offensive players in the league, Carmelo Anthony. So they should be, you would think, flourishing. They should be playing well. And given they played a couple of, really good teams to start the season. But, oh, man, do you blame this on Billy Donovan? Is it on Russell Westbrook? Because they're still going, it's not like they're just going out not playing hard, because they are. They're playing really hard. They just can't find a win right now. And they've just been, their 3-point shooting has not been very good. Russ has not been very efficient. Paul George has been decent, but it's a strange start for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I have them finishing as the 5 seed in the West right now. My prediction's not looking very good, so.
No, I definitely think that there's absolutely no excuses at this point. They've got the pieces and they have the ability now, once they move their contracts around, they could move Schroeder, they could move some pieces. They could attract that potential third star to come and play with Russ and PG in OKC. And I think that starts like this, and you know, because not a lot has changed with the team except maybe Schroeder, and that's not necessarily the biggest piece that needs to be worked out. The team is just not playing well. Like,
they're just bad right now.
It's
they just
Russ.
Suck.
I mean, Russ has never really truly been that efficient throughout his entire career. He's ball dominant. He's a scorer.
Yeah, it's never affected him like this, though. So I don't believe that
up to him.
Really falls on him at the moment. I would say right now I would blame Billy Donovan. You know, I haven't been a big Billy Donovan guy in the NBA since he got hired. Oklahoma City just hasn't. I wasn't a big fan of Scott Brooks either. I don't think they've had a good coach since the Oklahoma City Thunder have really been a team. So I think a better coach would really, really help them out. There's not a lot of guys on the market right now. Obviously, Fizdale went to the Knicks. Mike Budenholzer went to the Bucks. So some of these big names are no longer available. So I'm curious. It looks like if anybody's going to get fired right now, he's probably number one, first guy to get fired on the year. They're 0-5. I mean, there's just no excuse for them.
What I was saying was, if this team doesn't perform well, then I think Sam Presti and the rest of the front office have to look to fire Billy Donovan. And if we take a look at a team like the Bucks, you know, Jason Kidd was absolutely terrible for them. They really haven't, you know, they couldn't shoot threes. Giannis wasn't developing. It was just like the same team over and over again. It was like the definition of insanity, just trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I think that now if you take a look at the Bucks, they're shooting more threes. They're playing Giannis at different positions. I saw him come in center against that game in Charlotte, you know, where they squeaked out that like quick little win to start off the season. And he's been absolutely fantastic. I think that now Jason Kidd is the equivalent of Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City. I think that he needs to be the one to go, especially if this season doesn't come out as planned. And just look to that coaching carousel. Maybe you promote a guy on the staff. Right now, I think Billy Donovan has to be fearful.
I agree. Billy Donovan just doesn't seem like the good job right now. Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has been an interesting topic this offseason. Jimmy Butler, he had probably the biggest blow up of any player I think I've ever seen in my life. He just kind of went off on his teammates, off on the front office. He criticized everybody with the Timberwolves. He called out Karl Anthony Towns. He called out Andrew Wiggins. He called out the general manager. And he said, he told them that they need him to win, and I completely agree with him. What are your thoughts so far on how Jimmy Butler handled that situation, requesting a trade, and where do you think he's going to end up, if he'll go anywhere?
I believe that he has become it's very unprofessional the way that he handled the situation. Absolutely. I think that he was certainly fed up. And, you know, I said this before in, you know, last season's podcast. Wiggins isn't that great. He hasn't made the jump since year two. Karl Anthony Towns is still, you know, playing Fortnite, super, you know, just streaming on Twitch, just instead of being in the gym. And that's not Butler's philosophy. Butler's a gym rat. He comes in. First guy there, last one to leave, always working on his craft. And I don't think that it gels with these two young guys. And if a star like Jimmy Butler, who is a grinder, somebody who really wants to get that championship, wants to be the guy, wants to lead the team to that next level, I believe that that's not going to attract any more stars to want to play in Minnesota, especially not when you have Thibodeau playing you 40 minutes a game where you're, you know, riddled with injuries and he's really hard on you guys and your team's not producing and you sneak into the eighth seed and like steal a game from Golden State or Houston. To me, that just doesn't seem like a viable option. I think that if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves now, that I'm looking to unload Jimmy Butler as soon as possible. I know reports are saying that he'll probably get moved by Halloween, which is next week. So hopefully that happens. I think that if you take a look at his contract, he's pushing 30 right now. He is going to look for that max deal next offseason. And it's clear that Wiggins and Cat aren't going to be there necessarily, maybe for the rest of their careers, maybe for not the next couple seasons. And if you're looking to pay Jimmy Butler, 31, 32, 33-year-old Jimmy Butler, a max contract on a timeline that doesn't really work anymore, I think that you have to trade him, get as many assets as you can. And to the team receiving them, I think that's an issue if you're trying to build that roster, which is why I think a team like Houston has a great chance of getting Jimmy Butler because you can get him on a 1-year rental. He won't stick around with you guys because you guys don't have the cap space, but if you can make the money work for a season, that's where it's going to work out the most for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like right now the most likely landing spot for him is definitely Houston. The reported offers 4 first-round picks, which is absolutely crazy. 4 first-rounders is nuts. And likely probably a player like Brandon Knight, so that way they can move that contract as well. But 4 first-rounders, I mean, I love Daryl Morey. He's the smartest guy. You really can't disagree with anything he does, except maybe signing Carmelo Anthony. That's debatable. But 4 first-rounders just seems like a really, really risky thing to give up because Chris Paul's health has really been in jeopardy every year for the last 5, 6 years. You don't know if he's going to be available in the playoffs. You don't know how many games he's going to play. He hurt his hamstring in game 6, I believe, or game 5 last year in the playoffs, and they looked like they were going to beat the Warriors. So you can't rely on Chris Paul, I'd say, at the moment through his health. James Harden is off and on. Obviously, he's the reigning MVP, but we've seen him by himself in the playoffs. He doesn't really show up a lot. So if this trade goes through and it doesn't work out, the Rockets are in a really, really bad spot then.
I definitely agree. Another landing spot, obviously, possibly Los Angeles, where he gets to play with LeBron. Maybe the Clippers, or perhaps a team that just has a lot of cap space and wants to move. Like, if I'm Brooklyn, I'm giving Minnesota a call because you can trade some of your pieces, get a bona fide star in Jimmy Butler. You know that you're going to be able to pay him all that money, and he's going to attract another marquee free agent to play in a big market with New York City. He'll get out of Minnesota and he'll go to one of the biggest markets, and that's attractive to me if I'm Brooklyn. I don't know how much I'd give up, or if you wait and see if he gets traded to Houston and then you make that push for Jimmy in the summer. I think that Butler has certainly an attitude issue, and I think it all sort of stems back, like I said before, to the young guys in Thibodeau. Maybe if they just make a change, or if I'm Minnesota and I try to trade Wiggins, obviously don't want to trade Cat because he's obviously the better of the two. But if you can grab Wiggins, unload that contract, maybe free up the cap space. It seems like a lost cause at this point, and I don't trust, the front office in Minnesota after the way they've handled the entirety of this situation. I don't trust Tom Thibodeau and his coaching style and the way that he conducts himself. To me, it just seems like a terrible situation, and it just gets amplified if you don't trade him.
Yeah, it really does. And it's crazy because last year, everybody was pretty excited about the Timberwolves. Andrew Wiggins was supposed to be a great player. Karl-Anthony Towns still has a lot of promise. They added Jimmy Butler. They added Tom Thibodeau. They had a pretty good team. If Butler doesn't get hurt last year, they probably finish, a little bit higher in the standings, and they probably have a much better shot to at least go to the second round. Last year was the first time they made the playoffs since the early 2000s. And so it's just crazy how fast this has all fallen apart. So it's been so quick, just in a year, it's been gone from, one of the best or the highest rising teams at the moment to, nobody wants a part of the Timberwolves anymore, just like they haven't for the last 15 years. So
Exactly.
if I were the Timberwolves, I would probably look at maybe trying to trade with the Lakers first. You know, maybe you can get Lonzo Ball or Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram, you know, a good player like that, rather than these four first round picks, which could be they could be lottery picks, they could all be in the 20s. You don't really know where those are going to go. And you'd probably rather try and get a solidified good player right now rather than the hope of, you know, possibly drafting somebody that'll be a good player.
No, I definitely agree. And we've sort of started out this podcast with a lot of downers. You know, we talked about the Lakers and their slow start, talked about the Thunder and their slow start, and the mess of a situation that is Jimmy Butler and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes.
Well, let's get happy. Let's get happy. There are some teams that are having some parties right now. They're looking great on the court. The Detroit Pistons,
Oh yeah, Detroit,
fan-freaking-tastic. You know,
baby.
what jumps out to you about this undefeated start for Detroit?
First thing that jumps out to me is obviously Blake Griffin. Last year, I said Blake Griffin was kind of my dark horse MVP candidate. I've always really liked Blake throughout his career. I always thought he was a little bit overshadowed by Chris Paul and the, you know, how bad the Clippers always were. And I think finally, now that he has, not that Doc Rivers wasn't a good coach in LA, but he has, you know, the reigning coach of the year, Dwayne Casey, with the Detroit Pistons. And I think we're really seeing Blake's true skill set. He's always been a really good ball handler for his size, for a big man. He's always been a really good passer too. And his jump shot, it looks like it's finally really coming around. He looks much more confident this year than I think he has in any other year. And he just had a 50-point game, which is crazy because it's Blake Griffin. You know, nobody would have really expected at this point in his career to drop 50 points on anybody. As long as he stays healthy, which is probably the biggest question with him. The Pistons, I mean, they're looking good right now. You know, who knows how long it's going to be? They're running that two post system, which is a little bit outdated for today's NBA.
Right.
Andre Drummond's been shooting some threes, which is, you know, he has been better from the free throw line this year, but I still don't like him shooting threes because, I mean, he hasn't been able to make a free throw his entire life. So why
Right.
start shooting longer jump shots? I'm really curious to see how Luke Kennard's going to develop this year. He's slowly taken steps since last year. He's been slowly rising, and Andre Drummond's been a fairly solid player for them throughout the year. So I'm curious how well Dwayne Casey and how well Blake Griffin is going to lead this team.
No, I definitely agree. I think the main thing that we really haven't seen out of Blake Griffin has been his health. You know, for the past 3 seasons, he's been riddled with injuries. He's barely played. And now I think that we're seeing the full effect of Blake Griffin. I
For sure.
think that he's still a top 15 player in the league when he's healthy. And Nick Wright on his show, First Things First, with him and Chris Carter, brought up an excellent point. And I hate, you know, I always got to show love to the Sixers, but he made up a point that, like, Blake Griffin is what we hope Ben Simmons turns into. Like,
It really, yeah.
we hope that he gets that jump shot because Blake Griffin can put it down on the floor. The thing with Simmons is he's quicker, he's a little bit more athletic. In terms
A
of
little
just
more
his lateral quickness,
explosive,
a little bit
yeah.
more explosive, has a better ball kit, like, you know, ball vision, like sees the court very well, you know. But Griffin's able to have that jump shot. He can beat you as a three-way player. He's a triple threat, almost like Carmelo Anthony was back in Denver, where he could, you know,
Yeah, very
pass,
much so.
dribble, or just straight up shoot it right in your face, and it's really hard to defend him. I think the double post game is kind of rough. Like you said, just because it's not today's NBA, but I think Griffin's able to space the floor a little bit more just with his shooting ability and having two big guys down there. You know, the teams in the Eastern Conference obviously still aren't the greatest, even though that LeBron has now left. You know, you got Boston, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and that's pretty much it. And then you're taking a look at teams like the Pistons and, you know, did I mention the Raptors? And I think that that's certainly a major aspect to the Pistons' success. As long as Blake Griffin continues to run the offense and they don't run it through Reggie Jackson, who's a shoot-first point guard, I think that Blake Griffin in the half court setting is absolutely lethal.
Yeah, he's really good in the half court. I'm so excited just to see how they play this year because the Pistons have been they've been stuck in that spot where they've been like very average, right around that 18 for the last few
Right.
seasons. And Drummond finally took them into the playoffs a little bit, but it hasn't been pretty. So I'm hoping Blake Griffin can kind of change their woes a little bit. Hopefully Luke Kennard can develop into a good player. Stanley Johnson has looked really bad still through his career, so who knows? Maybe he can take a step up.
It's just
But
Stanley Johnson.
Detroit basketball's back for the moment, so I'm happy.
No, that's really cool. And I'm really pleased with that. You know, one of the teams that I mentioned, as contenders in the Eastern Conference are the Raptors. And unlike the Pistons, in my opinion, I think the Raptors can really do some damage this season. I think that when the Raptors are all healthy, when they're playing well, and they have the ball going through Kawhi, I think Kawhi's absolutely on a mission to terrorize the rest of the NBA. I think that it's absolutely fantastic how terrible the Spurs handled the situation, how poorly Kawhi handled the situation, and now we just could see some great basketball out of Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors right now have the fourth best offensive efficiency, and Kawhi Leonard has just been he's been really good. He still looks like a little bit unsure of himself, I think. I don't think he's athletically completely back yet, but I think he's close. And I think that's really important, not just for the Raptors, but for Kawhi Leonard himself, so we can see the real true superstar that Kawhi Leonard is. And even Kyle Lowry has looked really good. And I haven't really liked Kyle Lowry ever, especially in the
Right.
playoffs. So I'm really excited for the Raptors. And I think right now, if I had to guess coming next summer, my guess is that Kawhi Leonard actually stays in Toronto. And I say that because I think he definitely wanted his own team. He had that in San Antonio, but he was still kind of behind the shadow of, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, David Robinson, and those guys. In Toronto, they've had those guys temporarily for 3, 4, 5 years, and then they've left, like Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, they've all been gone. And I think he's going to have the whole country of Canada behind him. I think he's going to feel all the love that they're going to give him at the T-Dot. Drake's going to be there. He's going to be doing everything he can to keep Kawhi Leonard. If I had to guess right now, I think Kawhi actually stays in Toronto at least through the next few seasons.
I definitely agree. What I could definitely see him doing is a 1+1, where he does that LeBron move where he, signs a quote 2-year deal with Toronto, but it's actually a 1-year deal with a player option where he gets to opt in and out. And that could be a way, like, if there's a shortcoming in the playoffs, like they lose in the conference finals or they lose, super closely in the finals. And it's clear that this team can compete. I think that a 1+1 deal works out brilliantly for Kawhi, and it would just make a lot more sense. Nick Nurse, absolutely fantastic. I think that they're much more offensively sound now within there, and they still have that presence of Dwayne Casey through Nick Nurse because they were still on the same staff. When you promote from within, there's a lot more respect because companies and, to compare teams to a business is not necessarily the best thing to do, but in this case, I'm going to do it. So when you're hiring, you want to hire from within because then there's that gained amount or level of respect that they have for the other person that, like, they know the position. They're not going to try to make any changes. They understand what was before and they can adapt it and make it better than what it was. Versus you bringing in a completely new CEO or manager or head coach in any scenario, and there has to be so many changes, so much overhaul to make it mine. Nick Nurse doesn't have to do that because it is his team, but he understands what came before. And I think that that was a brilliant move from Toronto to head coach, Nick Nurse.
For sure, Nick Nurse has looked really good. Toronto in general has just been really good, and they're very deep this year too. Like they have been the last couple seasons, they were able to move DeMar DeRozan, but still keep that depth and include get a guy back like Danny Green. Obviously, they got Kawhi, but also Danny
Fantastic.
Green. And
Fantastic.
Van Vliet, potential sixth man of the year. He's been playing really well.
I'm
He
liking
was
this.
he he's one of the best. He's arguably one of the best players from that draft a couple of years ago. So I love Fred Van Vliet as well from Wichita State. Got to represent. But Raptors are looking good right now. I mean, I'd say they've got to be the top team in the East right now. The Celtics have looked a little, off and on so far this season. The Sixers don't look the same right now as they did last year either. The Bucks are on the rise, but right now, I think the Raptors have got to be the number one team in the East.
No, absolutely. I think that depth there, Van Vliet, I like to call him Van Yeet because he just yeets the ball right at, like, and it just goes in. It's fantastic. I love it. And I think that, when you have a team like the Raptors and all these other teams are struggling to sort of put the pieces together, we brought up Boston. Boston is sort of like that, 2010 Miami Heat team where they really didn't click right away. It took some time for them to develop, figure out, all right, how can we run the offense through LeBron? How can Dwayne Wade still get his touches, and how can we work in Chris Bosh to get those buckets? I think that there's a lot of ball heavy players, and easily the best player on that team has been Jayson Tatum,
Oh, for sure, for
just
sure.
because he's been a bucket getter. Kyrie has looked a little rough, and I think that, going into the season, everybody pegged Boston to, just come out the gates firing, but it's going to take a lot of time for Boston to, work and develop. As for Philadelphia, I think that I knew that Philly was going to take a step back this year. I think that teams just weren't ready and expected a lot from the Sixers last year. And now that you have the film on Simmons and Embiid and
Yeah.
how the team plays together, obviously it's going to be a lot harder. I think that, it really just comes down to Markelle Fultz and how much he can develop and look better towards the end of the season. But for right now, I'm not a big fan of starting Fultz right now. I get that you want to have him in that half court setting where he can, sort of take over the ball handling skills of Simmons and you can make off ball cuts. But Redick needs to be in there. They need to add another 3-point shooter because Roko's too
They
streaky
do, yeah.
and that starting lineup just misses so many open threes. And it comes down to a battle of can they stop us when we go to the rim? And unlike the Raptors, who really don't have that problem because they have a lot of floor spacers, Danny Green has looked fantastic from deep. Van Vliet has been fantastic from deep. Kyle Lowry has looked really good. And to me, I think, like you said, I think the Raptors are the number one team, and that team looks super scary on paper in the playoffs.
They do. And going back real quick to the 76ers, one thing I think people forget is how young the Sixers really are.
True.
Both Simmons and Embiid are both in their early 20s, along Markelle Fultz, I believe, is 20 years old. And this is only Embiid's second full season. People forget about that. Simmons missed his entire technically rookie season that he was there too. They're still so young, and they have so much time to develop and so much time to really work this chemistry. And people, there's a lot of pressure on Philadelphia to be a great team in the East, that most teams don't get that kind of pressure this early on in their careers. But I think they've handled that pressure really well so far. And I think that they're really gonna, as long as everybody stays healthy, I think the 76ers will definitely figure it out this year. And they do need to add another 3-point shooter. They lost Ilyasova and Bellinelli, which I think really hurt them. They were the big, almost the big playmakers last year for them toward down the stretch of the season. So hopefully Markelle Fultz can. He's looked obviously much better. The jump shot looks like it's at least, you have to at least stay near him when he has an open jump shot right now. You can't just completely leave him. So hopefully Fultz can kind of figure it out a little bit more. But he's got a lot of time though. He's only 20 years old, so there shouldn't be. There's a lot of pressure on him, but there shouldn't be that much pressure on him at the moment.
It's a double-edged sword. If they don't, if they don't produce right away, then the team seems like a failure. But if they produce too early and they try to make the move to win now, it could stunt their future and their potential growth. And Philly fans have been waiting for a
Definitely.
long time for a championship. I say just wait a little bit longer and then reap the benefits of it.
They're
You
close.
know,
They're very close.
they're so close, and that's where the pressure's coming from, because they've been bad for so long that now they're starting to get a little bit of a taste, and they want the full steak, but it's not done cooking. And it was such a weird analogy to use, but you know, let's sort of jump in, sort of shift topics to our sleeper teams this year. You know, out of the first five games, there have been teams that have surprised us, like the Detroit Pistons. There have been teams that disappointed us, like the Oklahoma City Thunder. But you know, name a team, Hunter, in your opinion, that could be a fringe playoff team, you know, either in the East or the West.
Well, I have. This might be a little surprising to some people. They've been bad for a while now since a certain player was traded away. It's the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic. They hired Steve Clifford. They finally got rid of Frank Vogel. I hired Steve Clifford, and I think so far, obviously, it's very, very early. The Magic are 2-3 at the moment, but I think the effects of Steve Clifford are really showing. They're 10th in assists right now, and they don't even have a legit point guard at the moment. Their starting point guard, it's been flip-flopping between DJ Augustine and Jerian Grant. They probably have the worst point guards in the league right now, other than maybe the Spurs, because both of their point guards got hurt. But they have done a very good job drafting the last few years. They just picked up Mo Bamba in the draft this past year. Last season was Jonathan Isaac, and they've both shown a lot of promise. Isaac's pretty raw on offense, but defensively, he's ready to go. Aaron Gordon has really, really stepped up his game. He's been playing really well these last two seasons. Nikola Vucevic has kind of figured it out. He's been very efficient for them this year, and he's just been getting buckets. They have 8 seed potential right now. They're still a long ways away from, really ever contending in the East. But I think this summer, I think they're going to make a really, really strong push for backup Celtics point guard Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier just signed with Puma, so he's got the shoe deal, and they need a point guard really bad, and they're going to have a little bit of money to pay somebody. And I think Terry Rozier might be their next good point guard for them. So
That seems
they're slowly putting those pieces together to really actually be a decent team in the NBA.
Yeah, that could be super scary. I like that. If the Magic really honestly don't end up making the playoffs, I know that like they are your sleeper team, but I just don't see it. If they could somehow go into the draft this season, you know, with a top something pick, you know, top five, top 10, they could potentially walk out of there with an RJ Barrett, a lethal 3-point shooter, somebody who can come in, space the floor. Then they sign a scary Terry in free agency. That team to me, on paper, is one of the most rising star teams. I think that there is a, you know, there's finally some hope in Orlando, once again for their Magic, and I think
Finally.
that it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming, and the front office really has to play this right in order
They
to
do.
be able to balance their cap space between like how many of their players just really aren't there yet versus the players that they have to pay right now, like, you know, Vucevic and Gordon and Fournier, and it's going to be a very interesting situation with the cap space, and I think that they just have to be up for the challenge. My team, however, will actually probably contend for a championship, and that's the Utah Jazz. You
Utah
know,
Jazz, baby.
the Utah Jazz, all right? Listen to me, all right? So when you're looking at the Jazz, nothing stands out. Nothing's that fantastic. But you're taking a look at Donovan Mitchell, year two. Fantastic, you know, scorer, defender, playmaker, can really push that offense through them. Ricky Rubio's playing the best basketball of his career right now, in my
Yes.
opinion. Rudy Gobert has been absolutely, you know, fantastic for them defensively. A great rim protector. Somebody with a team like Golden State might not necessarily be able to, you know, get those extra rebounds, play that defensively, go to the rim. They're gonna have to shoot over a lot of these players and a lot of these guys, super long, super lengthy. Mitchell, Joe Ingles, these guys can really make a push for a championship. I think that honestly, if Gordon Hayward would have stayed with them, would have been absolutely fantastic.
It would have been very interesting if he would have stayed. I wonder, do you think, say, let's go 5 years in the future. Do you think Gordon Hayward will regret his decision to go to Boston rather than stay with Utah?
I think he'll regret his decision to stay, not staying in Utah. I think that when you have the chance, because that was Gordon Hayward's team, right? Gordon Hayward had the keys to the city, of Salt Lake. And now he goes to Boston, bigger market, obviously. But he's not the guy. He was supposed to be the guy. He gets to pair up with his old college coach, Brad Stevens, and they get to be all buddy buddy and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's Kyrie's team, and once Kyrie's done there, it's going to be Jason Tatum's team. It's not going to be Gordon Hayward's team. It will never be Gordon Hayward's team. And
No.
if Hayward would have stayed, it would have been Hayward and Mitchell and Gobert. And they obviously wouldn't have had the money to probably sign Ricky Rubio, but they still could have gone out and gotten a solid,
Could have gotten
player.
somebody, yeah.
They got Grayson Allen in the draft, which was super nice.
Yeah, I like Grayson Allen. He's one of my favorites out of this past draft.
He looks semi decent. He looks like he can actually play at the NBA level. And this team has beaten the Rockets, and we're one Jonas Jerebko tipping away from beating the Warriors.
Yeah.
And when you look at this team plays the top very hard. They play down to their competition, which isn't that great, but when it comes to the playoffs, it all matters how you stack up against those top teams. And I think the Utah Jazz can really make some noise this season. I think they will probably finish third in the West,
I
maybe
have them
fourth.
third as well, yep.
I think that they're absolutely terrifying, and if they can work out some money, maybe move that Derek Favors contract, they could possibly add another big man to pair alongside Gobert to stretch that floor. Could be
Definitely.
absolutely lethal for them going forward, and they just have a very bright future ahead of them as we're starting to leave the era of the banana boat gang.
Definitely. Utah's looking really, really nice in the West right now. It kind of blows my mind because last year I basically had no stock in the Utah Jazz. I thought they were going to be a good defensive team, but I thought they were going to be like brutal to watch on offense. They were going to be like a average 90 points a game kind of team and
Right.
really just grind out through the season. And I was really wrong about that. Quinn Snyder has this team as they're like a mid-tier offense, but he has that star in Donovan Mitchell, and that helps so much. And Joe Ingles has stepped up his game tremendously. He was, other than he was arguably the best 3-point shooter last year. He shot about, I believe, 47% from three, which is ridiculous. I believe it was number one in the league in 3-point shooting last year. And he has just been, he's like out of nowhere. I never thought Joe Ingles was going to be a very good NBA player. But I was wrong. I was just really off about the Utah Jazz.
I think everybody was completely off about the Utah Jazz, but I am certainly not off the Utah Jazz train. I think that they are one of the best sleepers that you could possibly have going into this year, and I think that they could possibly make some noise in the playoffs, and I think that they could make the conference finals if they
Definitely.
really have some good series in the playoffs.
Yeah,
All
because
right.
they'll likely see the Warriors or the Rockets most likely. So we'll see how they do.
All right, this has been such a great and fun time. It's been awesome to do this again with you, Hunter. We miss you, Cam, down in Tampa
Course.
Bay, Florida. But you will be back, and you will not be forgotten, along with some of your hot takes like Marcin Gortat, who's now a Phoenix Sun,
Exactly.
and I'm very excited. We got a whole new season for you guys. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you drop a like. Be sure to share it with all your friends. Follow us on all our social media. You guys already know the drill. This has been the Triple Double Podcast. I'm Eddie Fitzgerald.
I'm Hunter Nicely.
And have a great day, everybody.